Friends in Christ, as always, there are a lot of different themes for our reflection that we could focus on in the Bible readings this morning. But there's one word I'd like to single out. It occurs in all of the three readings, the word faith. And we're encouraged, therefore, the words of the apostles at the beginning of the gospel. We're encouraged to ask and pray in those same words, Lord, increase our faith. There are so many challenges to our faith in these very secular times, so many influences that go against our Catholic Christian religion and our values, as well as the need to increase our faith. The readings remind us of the need for courage in being prepared to witness to our faith, perhaps in the face of opposition and adversity. We heard in the prophecy from Amos, one of the most ancient prophets in Old Testament times, and he's pleading with the Lord, Lord, no one's listening to me, and all I see is violence and destruction all around, and nothing good's happening, and the Lord says to him, the just man lives by his faith. Our faith is the very foundation of all of our spiritual life. We know that the greatest commandment is to love God and our neighbor, right? But we can't love God unless first we believe in him and trust his word. You can't love someone if you don't trust them, maybe you're not even too sure they're out there, okay? So faith is the first foundation stone of, or the foundation of all our spiritual life. At the moment, the second reading has a particular relevance too, because Paul is there writing to the young Bishop Timothy, who he recently laid hands on. He mentions that. That's the sacrament of orders, ordination. And he says, God didn't give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to the gospel. I think that bearing witness to our faith, including in unfriendly surroundings, is very relevant at this time in view of the very important elections that are coming up in a few weeks' time. Archbishop Carlson has asked all of us priests in the St. Louis Archdiocese to say something about the upcoming elections during one of the weeks in October, as we come towards the big day in early November. In fact, he convoked all of us priests just last week down to the Regali Center, and there were some, I think the deacons as well there, for a discussion about how we should preach regarding the elections to all the different people in all the parishes in these last few weeks before the big day, about what we can say, what we should say, what we're not allowed to say, right? Because the church has to be careful, and when it starts touching on political matters, we know that we lose our tax exemption. The law says you can't, in your capacity as a priest or religious organization, you can't endorse a particular candidate or a particular political party. Of course, all of us as individuals and as citizens, priests as well as everybody, we have our private views, maybe some strong views about politics, but in our capacity as priests, we can't preach directly about candidates and parties. But, and this is one of the messages we heard at our meeting with the Archbishop and various speakers the other day, we can speak about issues, about the important questions that are coming up in elections. As long as we don't endorse a particular party or candidate, we can say, well, these are some very important issues. And we were given some guidelines, and we were asked to preach about this. So I'm going to share with you just three basic points that I've taken away from this meeting with the Archbishop, and the other priests in the Archdiocese are going to be talking about this too. First of all, number one, it's very important to vote. There's an awful lot of people who just don't bother, right? They don't get out and vote. And they can say, well, I'm not interested in politics. But the point is this, according to our Catholic teaching, we are responsible before God for the welfare of our community that we live in. It's part of our Christian duty to be patriotic, to love our country, and to do what we can, thinking about what's the common good. What does God want for my country, not just for me as an individual or for my family as a private group? We are responsible before God, and so we shouldn't just be indifferent and say, well, politics, all those politicians, none of them are any good. I think I'm going to stay at home. No, that's not a Catholic Christian attitude. Our church has a very important teaching about our social teaching. We're responsible for the way our country goes, and particularly in a democratic country where we have the right to choose our leaders and to vote, we should take that very seriously. So that's the first point. We shouldn't stay at home. We're a citizen. Vote. Second point, we have to prepare prayerfully and seriously, asking God to help us form our conscience as to who is really, we believe before God, is the best candidate in this or that race, whether it's the presidential election, whether it is the local state elections, or for the Senate. There's so many different competitions coming up on that ballot paper, right? But we need to take into account all of the issues, not just one single issue. Or at least all of the important issues. It means we've got to take time out to study, to look at the different policies of different candidates, because we have to make an informed, conscientious decision. So look at all the different important issues that are out there. Now, second point. The third and final point, I think, is the most important. The church, we had at this meeting here, we have to weigh the different issues because not all of them are equally important from the point of view of our Christian and Catholic values. Lots of very important ones, but some of them are more important than others. And our Catholic faith teaches that there are certain things that are more basic than anything else. For instance, what's the most important of all rights that we have? It's the right to live, the right to life. And as we know, for 40-something years, because of a Supreme Court decision that went against the will of the vast majority of states in this country with tens of millions of votes, it was overthrown by the decision Roe versus Wade that eliminated the right of the unborn child even to live. And that's a very grave matter. That's very fundamental. At the beginning of life and the end of life, there's a big push now for euthanasia. And we're always told, oh, it just would be voluntary. You look at the examples of countries like Belgium and Holland, where it's been in place for a long time, that voluntary quickly becomes involuntary. And now old folks in Holland and Belgium, they are frightened of hospitals because that's where they're going to kill you. And it's true, there's a lot of doctors who will put to death people when they think that person hasn't got enough now, not worth living, or whatever. Very dangerous, because God is the only one who has the right of life and death. Marriage, another one of the commandments. We have Catholic Christian doctrine that marriage is between one man and one woman. And as we know, last year the Supreme Court brought out another decision that again overturned the democratic votes of tens of millions of citizens who reinforced in their state constitutions that marriage is between a man and a woman. And now we have same-sex, so-called marriage, it's not really a true marriage, but now that's the law of the land. So a very important issue in the upcoming elections is what's going to happen in the Supreme Court. Unfortunately, the court has taken over more power in recent decades than what it's entitled to in the Constitution, but that's the reality. We have to think very seriously about what's going to happen in the Supreme Court. Which candidate is going to appoint what kind of nominee. as judges or justices for the court. There's many other very important issues. Racial harmony, we know there's still a lot of prejudice and hatred. We've seen a lot of violence and tension in recent times over racial issues because of killings, police shootings and protests. We need to pray to God for harmony and find out what policies, what steps are necessary for bringing harmony and love between black and white and brown, all the different racial groups that make up our American community. So many other important things: immigration, combating terrorism, we're seeing an increase in terrorist attacks, health care, taxes, minimum wage. There's a great many important issues, and it's not up to the church to say you have to vote this way or that way or for this person or that person, but the church is telling us, please form your conscience, study and pray, and ask God to help you decide seriously who is going to be the best candidates to vote for in this upcoming election. And finally, don't let anybody intimidate us. Remembering the Bible readings today, talking about proclaiming our faith bravely, maybe in the face of opposition. There are those who say, oh, you shouldn't let your religious beliefs influence your vote because we have separation of church and state in this country. Now, that's a kind of a distorted way to look at it. What the U.S. Constitution provides for in the First Amendment is that Congress can't make any law that establishes a certain religion. What that means is simply that no particular church, Catholic or Baptist or Methodist or Episcopal, no single denomination can become the official religion of the United States. And that's very reasonable because there's so many different religions in this country. But it doesn't mean that you have to ignore the basic religious and moral teachings that made this country great when it comes to vote. The Ten Commandments, they're part of the great tradition, not just of the Christian faith, but of the Jewish faith from the Old Testament. And those basic moral principles about honoring God and not stealing and lying and killing and that kind of thing, and adultery and sanctity of marriage, all of that, that's God's law, and that applies publicly as well as to our private lives. Right? And the founders of the Constitution of this country never dreamt of eliminating God's law from the public sphere. So let's not be intimidated by false interpretations of the Constitution. And finally, our Catholic Church teaches us, in Vatican Council II, they brought out a whole decree about the role of lay people. That's people, you and me, not just the priests. Lay people, what their role is in society. And it says, and I quote Article 13, Christian lay people should strive as citizens to infuse a Christian spirit into the mentality, the customs, the laws, and the structures of the community in which they live. This is our Catholic Church's teaching, that God's law should influence our public life. And we need to take that very seriously in asking God to help us as we form our consciences and exercise very seriously our responsibility to help lead this country in the direction which we believe that God wants it to go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.